Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 and then put your finger in Revelation chapter 6, if you would, please. Matthew 24 and Revelation chapter 6. I want to try as best I can to share with you what I believe to be the chronology of the 70th week of Daniel, what we call the what is commonly called the tribulation period. It's the last bit of prophecy we have about end times, and I want to try to give you a chronology the best I can from these two chapters, Matthew 24 and Revelation chapter 6. I mentioned to you last week, and we read not only these two chapters, but also out of Mark 13 and Luke chapter 21, as well as Daniel 9, to try to see just an overall view of the events as Jesus outlined them, not only in his teaching in the Gospels, as recorded in the Gospels, but also by inspiration which he gave to the Apostle John to write down for us. I will again emphasize that no two people that I've ever read or listened to have ever agreed on all these events, and so that's not our attempt. Our attempt is not to find someone in the E-Free Church of America that we can say, well, most of us believe like him or her, whatever. That's not our attempt. My attempt, after reading all of the people that I've read, I'm trying to set forth what I believe is settled for me. But understand that that's the way I'm looking at it. You can look at it a different way. That's fine. But I wanted to share with you what made sense to me, the way it makes sense to me, and you can do with that what you will, but I did want to share these thoughts with you. And so we're going to compare, beginning just now, we're going to compare what Jesus taught in Matthew 24 and what he inspired to be recorded in Revelation chapter 6, and begin to establish a chronology of the last week of history as is prophesied through Daniel in the 70th week of Daniel. And so what we're going to do is we're going to flip back and forth between these two scriptures, and we'll just read a verse or two at a time from each one and see how they parallel, and then try to draw a chronology out of that, taking it from the Lord. He's answering a question in Matthew 24 to his disciples, also Mark 13, Luke 21, as how are the end days going to come, and what's it going to look like before he returns? Here he came the first time. He came as a baby. He is going to fulfill his work. He's talking to his disciples. He's going to fulfill his work of salvation. That's going to be a completed work. And so all that will ever be saved will be saved because of what Jesus did in Jerusalem about A.D. 30, 33, somewhere along in there, 32, depending on who you use as a benchmark for the dating. And so he accomplished that work of salvation for all time. But he's coming again. That's still in the future because he hasn't arrived yet. Scripture tells us that everyone's going to know when he comes. And there are events that he says are going to be happening, so it's going to be unmistakable that Jesus is coming back. And everything that was prophesied about his second return, his second appearance on earth, is going to happen just as certainly as everything prophesied about his first advent here. So everything prophesied the first time he came was absolutely true and was proven. This is things about his second return, and they're all going to be true as well. And it's up to us to be informed and to be prepared for those things that he has prepared for us. And that's what we're doing right now. So let's begin in chapter 24 of Matthew. And we want to look at verse number 5. And I don't know any easy way to do this other than just to flip back and forth. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to read Matthew chapter 5. This is the beginning of the events that will be occurring in that last 7-year period that we call the last days. Some people call it the tribulation period. I'm calling it the beginning of sorrows. And one of the things you'll notice when we get to the Revelation passage is God is not causing to occur what occurs. He's allowing it to occur. Now, I realize that's splitting hairs because God's sovereign. And how does God not cause everything to happen? Well, God permits things to happen in accordance with His will. So in a way, He's in charge of everything. He's sovereign. That means He's in charge of everything. But He allows certain things to happen. For example, why does the devil exist though he's a created being? Because God keeps him alive. Now, we can talk about why He keeps him alive, but God keeps him alive. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me. I'd say, just whack him and we're done with all of that. But God has decided not to do that. He is sovereign in that. And the fact that He leaves the enemy in existence and for a purpose that we may not know is up to Him. So He's permissive in that. He sets limits, but He's permissive. And that's what we're going to see in Revelation 6. He is permitting these things to occur. He's not causing them to occur. So when you see the word come, the angels say, come to the horsemen. They're actually saying, in effect, in the original text, you're free to go. You're free to do what you want to do. It's time for you to go. So He is giving the freedom of the four horsemen that are in Revelation 6, the freedom to go. He's not causing them. He's not causing what they do to happen. He's just allowing it to happen because it's part of His plan. And that's difficult to understand sometimes. So understand that as we read, that He is not causing those things. Why that's important? You ask the question in your mind, well, why is that important? Because of this. Some people have mistaken the breaking of seals in Revelation 6 to be an expression of God's wrath. And so have misunderstood the chronology. Those are not expressions of God's wrath. God expresses His wrath in the trumpets and the bowls of Revelation, not in the seals of Revelation. The seals are wrapped around a scroll that contains, its contents are the declaration, the prophecy of the trumpets and the bowls, judgment of God, the wrath of the Lamb, it's sometimes called, to be poured out. But there are seven seals to be broken before the contents of that scroll are exposed to Revelation, are opened. So Jesus is breaking those seals. That is not an expression of His wrath. That is in preparation for the expression of His wrath. And so as we look at the seals being broken, that isn't wrath. Those are just consequences that are going to occur inside the 70th week. So you say, well, why even spend time on this? Okay. For this reason, if nothing else. Verse 12, Matthew 24, verse 12. As wickedness increases, the love of, some translations say many, it should be translated most, the love of most will grow cold. Now that is important to understand. That during these days that Jesus is prophesying about in chronology, that the love of most, whether it's talking about Israel or it's talking about Gentiles, the love of most will grow cold. Now that's important if you're married. That's important if you're in a church. Because there will be an onslaught in opposition to your love for your spouse, your children, your parents, your brethren, your friends. There will be an onslaught. Your love for God. There will be an onslaught against that love. And so we need to be aware of that. So if you get up in the morning and You've been married for 5 years, and you say to yourself, what in the world did I get myself into? Well, there's a reason why you're saying that. And it will almost always be able to be attributed to an increase of evil, whether it's in you or your spouse or somewhere else. This is what's happening. And we need to be aware. We need to be aware as these days transpire. It says that children will be disobedient to their parents. People will be lovers of themselves and not lovers of good, disrespectful to authority. We'll read that in just a minute. All of these things are going to be happening. So it's not anything strange. It's very real. And we need to be able to interpret what's going on so we know how to defend against it. When we see gratitude just leaving the planet, people just don't know how to say thank you for even the smallest gift. There's a reason for that. And there's things we need to be aware that Jesus is talking about. So this is why we're doing this. All right, verse 5, Matthew 24. Many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will lead many astray. So there's going to be a time chronologically that occurs in this last 7 years called the last days in which many people will be professing themselves to be the savior of humans. This is the reason people will be susceptible to believing what Antichrist says, because he will appear to be somebody that has a solution for the problems that man faces. And you say, what in the world? That's not going to happen. Okay. I don't know if you saw any of the reports on the shooting in Aurora, Illinois. Anybody see reports on that? I think 5 killed. I don't know if any more have died since I heard the first report come out. I saw the news, just a portion of the news conference. I happened to be going through a place where it was on, and it caught my attention. I thought, I need to listen to this because, you know, I'm from Illinois, so I want to know what's going on down there. And the police chief came on. Happens to be a woman. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But what she said caught my attention. Says we have 5 officers. I think it was 5 officers shot. Is that true? 5 shot. 2 of them were serious enough to be medevaced. Is that right? I don't know if they've died. But here was her first statement. If you saw the same report I did, you heard her say this for the first time. We want to thank those officers who ran into gunfire to help intervene. And then she said this. Now listen to this statement. I'm not criticizing. I'm just pointing out an indication. All right? We want to send our positive energy to those officers to help them. Now, I thought I misheard. Honestly, what does that mean? So we're not going to pray to the God of heaven. We're going to wish for positive energy from humans. Well, it's New Age. We know what it is. But see how susceptible people are in a crisis to completely forget God and think the answer lies with human beings, not deity. We're not going to be, we are completely susceptible to human figures who say they have the answers. Aren't we? We could just take a small step culturally, in our culture, and look to someone who is completely bereft of anything spiritual and to ask them to save us. We're just a step away from that. Just listen to politicians talk about scrape the bottom of the barrel. Our barrel doesn't have a bottom in it. What are we thinking? What are they thinking? But we as a culture are susceptible to believe that a human being is going to have answers during this 7-year period. And we're not that far from it. We think there's some event that's going to go, oh, there he is. There's Antichrist. Look at that awful person. It's not going to be like that, brethren. We're going to be saying to ourselves, and I don't mean us, but I mean generally speaking, our culture, oh, there's a good man with some great answers. And we'll all be anti-God. And we need to wake up to that. When you see these kinds of things occurring, you need to be prepared to teach your children what to and what not to look to for their hope. Their hope is in the Lord. Their hope is in the Lord. Their hope is in the Lord. Drill it down. The enemy is trying to tell everybody just the opposite. I'm the answer. Pleasure, power, popularity, possessions. That's what he's feeding everyone. And there is more misery there than can be described here. So there's going to be people raising themselves up that have the answers. Can you spell Hillary Clinton? Can you spell Donald Trump? Cory Booker, Kamala Harris? Just go down the line. They all present themselves as having the answers. Brethren, if they're not in Jesus, they have no answers that we should want to listen to. Only those in Christ. And we're going to have to start being suspicious of even those who say that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a group of pastors getting together from a church in America saying abortion is a blessing from God? What kind of insanity is that? That isn't even rational thought. Jesus said a house divided against itself could not stand. Jesus is creating babies so he can kill them. What kind of God does that? Satan. See how confusing it's going to get? And we need to be so alert and be prepared for this. Revelation chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Now I watched, and when the Lamb, who's the only one that could do this, opened one of the 7 seals, I heard one of the 4 living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. Now what he's actually saying is, okay, you haven't been active, now you're released to be active. Come on out and do your thing. I mean, in our vernacular. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. There's another white horse later on in Revelation. One is mounted by Antichrist, one is mounted by Christ. We must know the difference. Come, and I looked, and beheld a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he came out conquering and to conquer. So the first horse of the apocalypse is someone who will make war. This would be Antichrist. It may not be obvious at first, but it will be occurring. Next step in the chronology, Matthew chapter 26, 6 through the first part of 7. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Revelation 6, verses 3 and 4. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. For nation will rise against nation. Revelation 6, 5 and 6. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come," and I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider, and it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3/4 of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." Matthew chapter 24, 7 again. After there are famines, earthquakes in various places. Revelation chapter 6, verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the four living creatures say, "Come," and I looked and beheld a pale horse, and its rider was named Death. And Hades followed, and they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and famine, pestilence, and beasts of the earth. These are all beginnings of birth pangs. Antichrist will be on the earth and will be influencing with Satan's power, and it will be remarkable indeed. But a change takes place in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 9. Let's look at that change. And they will deliver you up to tribulation. And this is where we get the word tribulation. It hasn't appeared until now. So the birth pangs are not the tribulation. And they will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. I should say the love of most will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the gospel of this kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Let's read through verse 28. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are on the housetop not go down and take what is in his house. And let no one who is in the field now turn back to take his own cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or in the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation. That's where we get the word again for tribulation. But it's a great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be again. So the Holocaust in World War II was not this. There's something far worse coming for Israel. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, God's people, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here's the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe it. For false Christs, false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. So if they say to you, "Look, he's in the wilderness," do not go out there. If they say to you, "Look, he's in the inner rooms," do not believe it. For as lightning comes from east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures gather. Revelation 6, beginning with verse 9 and going to verse 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God. That's the martyrs of verse 9 of Matthew 24. These parallel. the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So the wrath hasn't come yet. Not in verse 10. Then they will say to each other, then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete who were to be killed as they themselves has been. So there is a number of those who will be martyred. So by the fifth seal, we will have martyrdom. But wrath has not yet been poured out. It's still the beginning of birth pains. So Christians who believe that we will somehow escape trauma in our faith are not being honest. There's nothing in Scripture that I can find that prohibits ours being still on earth during these days, if we are alive during these days. Because wrath hasn't occurred yet. And so I think we need to grapple with a philosophy, I won't call it a theology, it's a philosophy from man, that believes the church today will not experience difficult times before Jesus or before the wrath of God is poured out. Because they mistake what the wrath of God is. We don't have wrath yet, dear ones. All we have is the beginning of birth pains. And we need to prepare our children to completely reject the concept that is often presented in church. Receive Jesus and your life will be so much better. No, it might be significantly worse. If you evaluate what's good and what's bad in terms of our comfort, in terms of our possessions, in terms of our pleasure, in terms of our popularity, or in terms of our power, in those terms, we will not be better off because God is not about that. And so many people, when difficult times come, are going to fall away because they were sold a bill of goods. They were told something that was not true, that is not true. There is no reason to believe that anyone living on earth now, if this 7-year period starts next week, will escape difficulty. There are no scriptures for that. And we need to be prepared, even to our brethren who may believe that you can speak happiness into your life. You can give off positive energy to yourself. That is not true. And we need to be prepared to walk in the truth because it's the only place we're going to be free. You say, well, Pastor, then what do we have to tell people if it's going to be so awful? Just tell them the word. No servant is greater than his master. What Jesus had to go through, we will also experience. God does not intend for our lifetime to be like a picnic. It's a pilgrimage to be like Jesus. And he learned obedience from what he suffered. We have to be ready. I'm not trying to be a downer, but just be truthful. So a change is going to occur at this point, and the beginning of sorrows is going to end. And we are going to begin the outpouring of God's wrath. It is here that it begins, and not sometime prior to this. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. That's where we'll pick it up. You may even have in your Bible a heading, the coming of the Son of Man. I don't know if you have it in yours, but some Bibles have that. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, now let's notice what's going to happen. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Chapter 6 of Revelation, verse 12. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. The stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by the wind. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. There are going to be catastrophic events that are going to occur when the wrath of God begins to be expressed. The reason that kings and queens and dignitaries and senators and congressmen and the president and others are going to seek caves and holes in the ground, bunkers, to get away from what they know is coming. But there will be no remedy for them, because the wrath of God has begun. It will be short-lived. The intensity and the effects of his wrath are going to be so devastating. Nothing would survive if you did not cut those days short. You've never seen a movie that's going to have these things happen, because we've never seen eschatological wrath poured out on the earth. What are you going to do when the sun's darkened? What are people going to do? What are they going to do when the moon is not, when stars are falling from the sky? Now, our scientists will try to tell us that this is all about asteroids. That's fine. I don't care if they want to say that. The stars are going to be falling to earth as an expression of God's wrath. We do not want to be here. The only people who will not be here are those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those people will not be here to experience the wrath of God. If you read the chronology, chapter 7 of Revelation through chapter 8 of Revelation, you'll see that a change takes place in chapter 7. The seventh seal is not broken yet. Just the sixth seal. The seventh seal, when it's broken, the wrath of God is revealed. That occurs in chapter 8. Chapter 7, 144,000 Jews who God is going to use to proclaim his truth to the entire world will be sealed. And there will appear in heaven a host that cannot be numbered, from every tribe, language, nation, people group on the earth. The only thing that can possibly mean is that the church is in heaven and not on earth. And the wrath of God will be poured out on godless nations and, unfortunately, upon Israel. You say, well, Pastor, that's God's people. Why does he let this kind of thing happen to them? It's very simple, brethren, and don't miss this. Why would God allow that type of punishment to come on his people? It's very simple. When the chief priests and elders of the people took Judas, and they went and they betrayed Jesus, when they were going through a trial with him, and Pilate says, there is no reason for this man to be killed, what did those people say to Pilate to get him to go along with it? Let his blood be on our heads. That is the reason, brethren. They took sole responsibility for the death of Jesus. Let His blood be on our heads. That's not something you want on your head. When God decides to pay back evil with evil. Well, you say, well, why do Gentile nations get punished? Because it says that you, Israel, with the help of wicked men, put to death the Son of God. Acts chapter 2. That's the reason it's coming. We can look at the cross and think, oh, what a shame that Jesus had to go through that just for us. And we can treat it as if it's nothing. Brethren, read Revelation 8, 9, and 10, 11, 12, 13 through 19, and tell me killing God's Son is not a big deal. We haven't got away with anything. We have just been given a gift to receive salvation as a gift. We get nothing from what, how good we are. Because we, along with God's people, killed the Son of God. How would God be just if He didn't punish the people that killed His Son? He has to. But the only people that He is not going to punish are those who come to Him on His terms. Not yours. His terms. You can't say to yourself, well, I went to Sunday school every year for 14 years of my life. I went through all of Awana. I even have the Timothy Award to show for it. Let me... That doesn't work. Why was your preacher? That doesn't work either. What did you do with my son? Did you receive him by faith? And if you have not, and you have not humbled yourself before me, I am your enemy. We remain an enemy of God. Read Romans. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. The righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God. And you can dally your way through life if you want to, but there is a day coming and no one is going to escape being confronted by God. Don't trifle with him. He's not amused. And you are not going to be improved by trying to get God to come to your terms instead of you coming to his. And I'm not mean-spirited. And I'm not a browbeater because I tell you that. It's because I want us to walk in truth and not be confused about what's going to happen. What happened to the people in the days of Noah who trifled with the truth that God was proclaiming for 130 years? What happened to those people that trifled? They died. What's going to happen to the people? And we're judged. What's going to happen to the people who trifle with God now? For God says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end. What's it going to be like? Same thing's going to happen. God will judge. But this time, it won't be with water. Understand, it will be with fire. God's judgment is coming. And we can't stop it. We can't change it. We can't amend it. We must receive Jesus Christ to escape the wrath to come.